call the meeting, the City Council meeting of Tuesday, May 14th, 2019 at 7 p.m. All stand for Pledge of Allegiance. During the year as city clerk from May 2011 through May 2019, presented on this day, 14th day of May 2019, and Coke, Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure serving and a great honor. So thank you all. Thanks.
Thank you. aldermen come in? Do you want to swear them in together or one at a time?
Oh, I think they'd like to do it one at a time. Okay. Please, all the aldermen step forward.
So Daniel Handier, he would be first.
Danny, welcome.
Thank you.
And congratulations to you.
Thanks. Let's get your ditch back.
Can they wear your rope?
Or.
Oh, I'll get out of the way. Yeah.
I, Daniel Transier.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 1 in the United City of New York.
Having been elected to the office of Alderman Ward 1 in the United City of New York. In the county of Kendall aforesaid.
Do solemnly swear. That I will support the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the State of Illinois. And I'll faithfully discharge the duties of the office within the Alderman Ward 1 of the United City of New York.
And I will faithfully discharge my duties of the office of Alderman Ward 1 of the City of Yorkville.
According to the best of my abilities.
Do solemnly swear
or affirm will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And the Constitution of the State of Illinois.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Alderman Ward 4.
And that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of Alderman Ward 4.
Of the United City of Yorkville.
In the United City of Yorkville.
According to the best of my ability.
According to the best of my ability.
Shusky?
Here.
Plocher?
Here.
Bunkhauser?
Here.
Frieders?
Nay.
Tarulis?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Of course. Oh, we're ready to do this, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Well, there may be, before we take recess, there may be an amendment to the agenda. Is there an amendment to the agenda?
Yes, Your Honor. I'd like to move the executive session up before mayor's report, if we
could. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll have executive session
and
after the recess.
Right.
Okay, so without any objection, we'll recess. There's cake back there.
Yes.
I get the first piece for my kids, too. Sorry. We are. Recess. All right. Mistake. My first mistake as mayor. I messed up the agenda, so I apologize. But we do have a short presentation from a college student, and I forget, what's your name? Could you step up to the microphone and say how that works?
Yes.
Tell me your rules here, please. We have to have you say your name for the record, please. And then you're a student.
Hello? Hello?
Is that on?
I think it's on.
Mayor, report.
What's that? We can talk about that in the budget. You want to sit here and use this one? We can't get that working.
Okay.
Well, this is for a college program. For Levant.
My mom fixed it.
There it is.
Nice. Thank you so much.
All right. Hello, my name is Marilyn Navarro. I'm a student at Levant Community College. For my honors project this semester for Comp 100, I decided to have a presentation from the York City Council about the effects of construction on the environment and on human health. As you can see here today, I will be informing you of the effects of construction on human health and the environment. To start off, I'd like for you all to imagine a typical ecosystem in Illinois, as shown through this rubric, consisting of your everyday Illinois species, such as your birds, bunnies, foxes, and snakes, all living in kind of peaceful harmony. Amazing, right? It's just what the textbooks portray. Now, imagine something like construction. Deadly for residing residents. Therefore, I urge construction workers to tread with caution when replacing and mending materials, as damage to our waterways can cause detrimental effects and can last for ages, kind of like a health issue. Hence, construction comes with many risks and dangers, remote mending with being unavoidable. However, we can try our best to minimize the impact, whether it be from working efficiently, to treating the app, the materials, and land use with respect. Hopefully, we can keep our local ecosystems as pristine as possible, not only for our own benefit, but for others that cannot stand for themselves as well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah. Does anyone have any questions, comments, or concerns about my presentation? No?
I like the fact that it was just to the point. I've seen a lot of presentations over the years where people just go on and on, and I appreciate it. It's very succinct, but made some good points. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Citizens' comments. Are there any citizens' comments on agenda items, please? Seeing none, we have no consent agenda, and just so you know, that is something I do not like, so we probably won't have those. I believe if there's something we need to vote on, we can vote on. Minutes for approval. There's minutes of the regular City Council, April 23rd, 2019. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Objection to second. Any discussion? Take a roll call, please.
Bill Schuske?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Next item is bill payments for approval from the current bill list. The amounts are listed: $305,917.20 for FY19 vendors, $252,567.77 for FY20 vendors. Payroll period ending 5/3/19, $286,057.87 for a total of $844,542.84. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. This is something different, too. We're going to do a roll call on all bills. Any discussion? We'll do a roll call, please.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Now we have, as Mr. Funkhauser amended the agenda, we're going to go into executive session for what purposes, please?
Pending litigation.
Is there,
and personnel.
Is there a motion?
There are two, yes.
Do we need to read those?
No, they're on the agenda. We will accept it as it's written, the purpose being litigation, employment, personnel matters, and we're not going to discuss minutes tonight. So it would be for items 1 and 2 on your agenda.
Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? There's a motion, a second. This does require a roll call.
Correct.
Please.
Tarulis? Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you so much. So we will have an executive session. I believe we go in this room over here, right?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. So you can all enjoy cake and everything. And we'll be back as quickly as you can. Hope you enjoyed the cake. Okay, we are to the mayor's report, correct?
Correct.
There should be a list in your packet of the appointments to boards and commissions. I don't know what page it is. Have you all seen that? I don't know where it is. Do you have a copy?
This is appointments to boards and commissions. Is it just Walter and...
Yes. So it looks like we're looking for a motion to approve Russell Walter and Ryan Forrestall to the Library Board, terms ending May 2022.
Hello.
Second. Second. Any discussion? We'll do a roll call, please.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Clocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Motion carries.
So just a follow-up note on that, too. There were several others, and I was wasn't able to get a hold of those folks, but it was after the agenda was posted, so we'll have some more on the next agenda. Okay. We're doing the new deal. Okay. Is there a motion to approve? Oh, God, did I read the whole thing? The mayor's appointments for the following individuals to the Unified Development Ordinance, UDO, Advisory Committee, Alderman Chris Funkhauser, Deborah Horace, Jeff Olson, David Schultz, Greg Marker, Billy McHugh, Matt Hiley, and Mike Torrance. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Okay, so just an FYI, we're looking for two aldermen on this. So those of you who are not on that, if any of you are interested, let me know after the meeting. You want to be appointed to that. And Bart, I don't know who's all familiar with this. Do you want to give just like a brief synopsis of this?
Yeah, the UDO is a very progressive, developed by local codes, building codes, so there's a few other codes into one to make them more developer friendly
So thank you. Questions on that? So I'm sorry, I should ask Christy for that, actually. So, and the one thing I like, and I did discuss this a little bit with Bart, I like the fact that there's some local people in here, not just the big out-of-town people. I like the fact that we have local input. That's important to me, so I appreciate that list. Okay, seeing no further discussion, we'll take a roll call, please.
Transier.
Aye.
Plocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Chrulis.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Next item we have is selection of Mayor Pro Tem for fiscal year 2020. This will require a roll call. So I'm calling for nominations.
I nominate Alderwoman Jackie Milshewski.
I second.
Are there any other nominations? The open nominations are closed, so we need to take a roll call vote on that. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Unless there's discussion. I didn't ask for discussion. No discussion. Jackie, are you okay with this? Awesome. Well, you got a lot of experience, and I appreciate that very much. I appreciate it. I value being the oldest person, well, not the oldest, well, I probably was, but the long-time history person on the county board. I value the history of people who've been around the organization a long time because you just remember things that no one else knows. Like, well, why did we do this? What's that? Well, I have a lot of that, too, that's for sure. So, anyway, thank you. We'll do a roll call vote.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chrulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I don't know if I'm going to clap for it. That's important. What's that? No, I don't plan on missing at all. You just never know. Okay. So next we have appointments to city council committees, administration, economic development, public safety, and public works. Is there a motion to approve the list?
So moved.
Oh, wait. That was informational.
Right. What you okay. are now.
I just get to do that?
Yeah, there's no consent required.
That's pretty awesome. Okay. Well, there. You've got the list in there. And I think I spoke to all of you on that, and I appreciate you listening and answering my questions. Okay. So next, we're what, the department heads?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. We have several. New readers here. A motion to approve the mayor's appointment as follows. City administrator and budget officer. Bart Olson, term of 6 months through 11/29/19 per contract. City Clerk Lisa Pickering, term of 1 year through 5/15/20. City Treasurer and Director of Finance Rob Fredrickson, term of 1 year through 5/15/20. Director of Public Works Eric Deuce, term of 1 year through 5/15/20. Actually, all the rest of these are through 5/15/20, so I'll just list the names. Director of Parks and Recreation Tim Evans, 1 year. Building Inspector Zoning Officer Pete Rados, 1 year. City Engineer Engineering Enterprises Inc. 1 year, and City Attorney Kathy Orr, 1 year.
Now we are to be sworn in.
Do I need a motion on this?
Yes.
Okay, well, I would like a motion on this.
So moved.
Then one, there's a second. So do we vote before I swear in?
Yes.
I would think so. Okay, well, any discussion? All in favor? Or do we have to roll call? What do you tell me?
Voice vote is satisfactory.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Perfect. Now I have to swear you all in.
Well, what?
Or how does that work? You tell me.
Well, as department heads, we like to do it as a group, and we'll each say our own name rather than doing it one by one.
Yeah, I like so that idea too.
Those have been appointed.
So do I make it or do you do it?
We will do it together.
We?
Those that are.
Oh, do you have like the things
yes,
to read?
Yes, we all have yeah. it. We all have it.
Okay.
Are we all standing? Okay, let us begin. I, your name please, Kathleen Fieldor. Having been appointed to the office of city attorney.
City clerk.
City administrator. Director of public works. Finance director. City engineer. Director of parks and recreation.
Together, in the United City of Yorkville, in the county of Kendall aforesaid, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of city attorney.
City clerk.
Of the United City of Yorkville, according to the best of my ability.
I agree. It was great to do all those together.
Yeah, sure.
Outstanding. Okay, so with the city administrator employment agreement. Okay, so we have a city administrator employment agreement. Is there a motion to approve such?
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Milshewski.
Aye.
Funkhauser.
Aye.
Chrulis.
Aye.
Tranzier.
Aye.
Clocher.
Aye.
Frieders.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Koch.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Excellent. Now I'm looking for a proclamation. Oh, we found it. Look at that. Outstanding. So, I'm looking for a motion. Where would my add on the agenda? For a proclamation for Law Enforcement Appreciation Week.
A proclamation you may just read.
Oh.
It's your proclamation.
Perfect.
You don't need a vote.
I like that even better. Okay. This is awesome. Okay. So, this is United City of Yorkville's Law Enforcement Appreciation Week proclamation. Okay, to recognize National Police Week 2019 and to honor the service and sacrifice of those local, state, and federal law enforcement officers who have died or have been disabled in the line of duty. Whereas there are approximately 900,000 law enforcement officers serving in communities across the United States, including dedicated members of the Yorkville Police Department, and whereas nearly 60,000 assaults against law enforcement officers are reported each year, resulting in approximately 16,000 injuries, and whereas since the first recorded death in 1791, over 23,000 law enforcement officers in the United States have made the ultimate sacrifice and been killed in the line of duty, and whereas the names of these dedicated public servants are engraved on the walls of the Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., and whereas at least 144 federal, state, and local names of fallen law enforcement heroes are being added to the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial this spring, sadly reminding us that public safety comes at a very steep price. And whereas each year, May 15th, is designated as Police Officers Memorial Day, in honor of all fallen officers and their families, and U.S. flag should be flown at half-staff. And whereas the United City of Yorkville is grateful for the service and dedication of all the law enforcement employees who serve and protect our citizens and for the sacrifices made by their families. Now, therefore, I, John Purcell, Mayor of the United City of Yorkville, do hereby proclaim May 12th through 18th, 2019, as Law Enforcement Appreciation Week in the United City of Yorkville, and I salute the service of law enforcement in our city, our country, and our communities across the nation. Thank you. And we do have here in Kendall County, actually over at the county courthouse, we do have a law enforcement memorial. And Rich, where are you at, Rich? You're over here. Sorry, I'm learning. We actually had a dedication earlier. Or wait, was it last week?
Yes.
Yeah, for...
Trooper Bob Bob.
Yes, he was... Well, that was back in, what, the 90s?
1993. He died in the state trooper. Really, he had a heart attack.
Yes, so it's right here at home, too. So thank you all. I appreciate that. Okay. Where am I at now?
The next item is your last item, sir.
Oh, sweet.
Resolution.
Okay, last item under the mayor's report is a resolution approving a railway highway grade crossing improvement agreement for Hoover Drive. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, Kathy, give a little update on this if you would, please.
This is a project that's been pending for a couple of years. What it is that Hoover Forest Reserve is owned by the county, but we entered into an intergovernmental agreement because if took back the driveway ownership of it, it made all of us mutually eligible for an IDOT grant. So that by this agreement, this is a license agreement where we give license to Illinois Railway to construct a crossing gates, safety gates, and redo the crossway over the railroad so that it'll be a very safe place, and we have no liability as a city, as part of the intergovernmental agreement. The county has no costs. They are to be paid by IDOT, and the work will be done by Illinois Railroad LLC. So it's been a good agreement. It's been 2 years in the making. We had to go to the Illinois Commerce Commission for petitions and hearings, but we're done. We have one more document that we will probably present to you at the next meeting. That will be the final document to get the project underway.
Questions, comments? So in a earlier capacity at about 5 o'clock this afternoon, I was discussing this at the county board or the Forest Reserve Commission. And the Forest Reserve, I know, would appreciate the support. There's not liability or any cost to the city. But just to give you an idea how good this is for the community, when the Forest Reserve was looking at doing this with the gates and such, there was a potential that was going to cost a couple $100,000 plus. And it turns out the Forest Reserve is going to end up, through grants, et cetera, getting $40,000 and not having to pay anything, or a very little amount of that. So for the community, it came out to be almost a $290,000 savings. So I know the Forest Reserve would appreciate the support on that. So anything else? Otherwise, take a roll call, please.
Terulis?
Aye.
Tranzier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. That is all the items for vote. I do have a couple items under Mayor's Report I just want to touch on. In the last 6 weeks, it's hard to believe it's been 6 weeks since the election, I've had many discussions with Bart and Rich and other staff members. I haven't got all department heads. I apologize. A lot going on, and I appreciate everyone working with me. But just a couple things I want to touch on while I'm mayor. I will not. There's some things we're going to do, I don't want to say differently, but just things I want you to make sure everyone's clear on. And I talked to, again, the staff on most of these issues. One thing is, I heard when I was campaigning, we want a staff and, you know, elected officials entirely up to you. I hear good things about elected officials and the staff too, but I want to make sure everyone knows we're going to be responsive, so when we get calls and concerns, we're going to respond. Is it going to necessarily be the same day? No, it depends on the issue, depends on the way it's going on, but staff understands we're going to be a little bit, we're going to be responsive. And we're going to be accountable on the financial. I've talked to Bart and Rich. There's been some thresholds, and I've talked to several of you on the council, some thresholds on staff allowances to spend dollars without getting reviewed by whether it's the mayor or council. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to, I guess you could say, we're going to rein in a little bit. I'm not trying to stop anyone from doing the job, but I think there's just some things we need to just look at a little more closely, just so the staff understands we're looking at the dollars and the residents and the citizens understand that we're looking at the dollars. And then the last thing, this is near and dear to me and a lot of people. I can promise you while I'm mayor, there'll be no forced annexations. That's just not going to happen at all while I'm mayor. So those are the only things I had. We'll go on to, what do we have next on the agenda?
Next on the agenda, there's no public works, no economic development committee report, no public safety committee report, no administrative committee report, but there's Orr Park Board planning and zoning.
Oh, nice. So do I turn this over to committee members?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so who would that be?
Staff.
Yeah, staff? Have to take it.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'll turn it over to staff.
So usually the mayor will introduce these motions, ask for motion second, and then in discussion staff, I
can. I love that idea. So the first item is PVC 2018-18 and EDC 2018-77 ordinance authorizing the third amendment to the plan unit development plan for Heartland Subdivision Lot 187. Is there a motion?
Uh-huh.
Second?
Second.
Excellent. Now, I'll turn it over to staff for an explanation, please.
Sure. So the petitioner is Mark Irving. favor of the original developers of the Harmon subdivision. This is their third PUD amendment request. The site that they're looking to seek an amendment for, which is actually for a new office building, is located in the southwest corner of the intersection of US 34 and the Q, which is adjacent to the Casey's. Right now, the site is about 16,000 square feet, and they are looking to construct a two-story office building. The request is for to increase the maximum allowable height, to increase the setback. Right now, they are allowed a 20-foot setback. They're looking to increase it, so increase their area that they can build on to a 10-foot setback. They are also, originally, they were seeking an increase in the height of the fence. So this went to the Planning and Zoning Commission at their January 9th meeting, and the recommendation came out of the Planning and Zoning Commission approval of this amendment to reduce that side yard setback from 20 feet to 10 feet. But it also further restricted development to not exceed two stories in height, and that a fence not exceed 6 feet in height. There were concerns with this project in regards to ingress and egress off of the queue. There's only one entrance into the site. There will not be an entrance off of 34. And there was a request to seek access, a joint access point with Casey's. The developer as well as staff reached out to Casey's to see if they were minimal, and we received no response, and that was over a 2 to 3 month period. The petitioner's attorney, Dan Kramer, is here to answer any questions that you have.
Other questions from the council members? Mr. Cole, please.
I was one of the ones that had the concern of the separate entrance, because it's a tight intersection there, where 34 is, and so you basically put the two entrance ways kind of side by side, where it makes a lot of sense to merge it with the Casey's exit, and it kind of lines up also if you look at the drawings, and that was one of the things that I was concerned about.
And so you're happy with the way it was addressed?
It was addressed.
What's that?
It was addressed.
It wasn't, is what you're saying.
Okay. Right, correct. Yeah, Casey's has now returned either our calls or the petitioner's calls for a joint access proposal.
Okay. Mr. Funkhauser?
Access is a primary concern for myself here. I know the petitioner asked to have an island in McHugh shortened or removed in order to allow them full access, but I don't think that that's something I should be supporting here at all. I know some of the options of the plans they were showing had a right in right out, but I think that would be the only viable solution is to make this a right in right out here. Just because it's such a challenging area as it is to right, I mean, putting something else in here with full access would be detrimental to the area. It doesn't meet, if I'm correct, our own city standards for setback or spacing of intersections.
Yeah, the city standard is 200 feet.
And we do not see that. Okay. I know we have granted those variances at times, but I'm not certain that that would be something good here. One of my other concerns is the character of the neighborhood. Right now, the character is all one-story commercial surrounding this area. They are asking for a two-story at this point. I know it's supportable in terms of the parking and the actual zoning. The issue is it's the character is not consistent with the rest of the commercial neighborhood. That is kind of a concern that I have, that it does create a visual discrepancy between what we have around this area. So those are my couple concerns right off the bat.
Other comments?
Mr. Mayor.
Please. Mr. Friedrich.
Mr. Or Alderman Funkhauser brought up this point. This was an EDC, right?
Yeah, last year.
And after the meeting, I had asked him, on the other side of the street, there's the exit from Blackstone. If they cut that island a little bit closer to 34, then we run that risk of people trying to turn left out of that little right in, right out into the Blackstone area. And I know that that area on a playoff, let's say Blackhawks or World Series, that right in, right out right there is hectic as heck. So I didn't want to add to the confusion right there by removing that median. I didn't dig any further because I just knew that that wasn't going to work. But also the fact that if somebody's turning right onto McHugh and somebody has already slowed down to turn into that parking lot, I just foresee a lot more bang-bangs in that area, and I would like to avoid that. And then also the idea that this is a very odd-shaped, you know, comma-looking lot, and while I would kind of appreciate this to be in the rear of the yard, that is also the narrowest point of the comma. So you literally could not fit the size building they're talking about in that area because the property narrows. And that's where, if we were going to allow a two-story building, I would want the building to be set back off of 34 and have the parking in the front. I know that, you know, you're entitled to build on your property, but right here, because of the size of the lot next to it and the fact that not only do I think it would be dangerous to attempt to make only a right-in, right-out at that entrance, as far as staging, like, having been involved in construction projects, I don't know if there's enough room on the property to build the property to the size that you want with all of the stuff that you have to, you know, kind of accrue to start building. So I have all of these concerns, but at the same time, I understand you're left with an eyebrow lot that you can't do much with. And I don't ever want to inhibit business, but this is one where we could literally have more accidents at this entrance than, you know, in front of the gas station, right at the actual intersection. So this is one where it's just, it seems like we're trying to cram something through, and I don't know if I can support it.
Other questions? Well,
Shusky? If it's proposed to cut into the island, they would like to do that?
No. We suggest it might be a good idea. The committee in the EDC said they didn't like the idea. We said, that's fine. It's not our battle.
From an engineering standpoint, why do we have an island there?
That's a good question. I mean, that's been there for quite some time.
And because it was within 200 foot of the intersection, they didn't want full access. And we even asked IDOT in this latest reconstruction of Route 34 if we could remove it back. And they said...
So it's because of IDOT we have an island? Or?
Because it's too close to the intersection.
Okay.
They don't want full access that close to the intersection. Like Joel said, that creates congestion in the...
Mr. Goose, when you say they don't want it, are you referring to IDOT?
IDOT.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry.
The proverbial they.
Other questions or comments? Mr. Kramer, do you have any?
I do. Thank you. I think we've got to take a step back here in time and look from whence this came. And I think your economic development director said probably the most cogent point in this since we filed it at the Planning Commission. And that is, the markers did not create the slot. The city of Yorkville created the slot when they realigned McHugh Road to create the Menards development. So you've got a lot of this zoned for its intended purposes. The city, not you sitting here, or certainly not the mayor, didn't create it, but your predecessors did. So now you've got a piece of property that's properly zoned. They could build up to 80 feet tall on that lot right now if they so chose under the ordinance. The Planning Commission's recommendation was do the 10-foot setback so they could have a little bit more width to the building, limit the building to two-story, and don't do anything as far as variations, as far as the height of the fence, which the markers are perfectly willing to do. We were asked to contact Casey's, and the markers attempted to contact Casey's, both through their local manager and corporate, over 20 times since we filed this application, and got zero response. That's after markers let the general contractor for Casey's use this slot, to Mr. Frieder's point, as the staging area for all the construction on their site at no cost. So no good deed goes unpunished at times. So the fact that you've got an entrance, and it would be like Mr. Funkhauser said, with the median there, it's going to be right in, right out. There's no choice, and we have no quarrel with that. It's not going to be a McDonald's. It's not going to be a 24-hour drive-in. They plan on doing a two-story office building and moving their own office there. You've seen everything they've built over at Veterans Way. You've seen the preschool. You've seen the building that Blackstone is in. And where the daycare center is now, they built a first-class masonry building. So your choices are to have a bare piece of property that frankly, I think you folks made a wonderful case for an inverse condemnation tonight to the city to buy the property from the market value, or you put it in the tax rolls and do something useful with it. And an office like that, that would be, they would be one tenant with perhaps one or two others. You put it to a good productive use. The driveway is pushed as far south as it can, and with the low intensity use, there's more than enough stacking there. I think as a practical matter, if there was a cut to the left, you'd have a better flow into the Veterans Way Center. But IDOT spoke, and so again, we're not fighting that battle. But it's a matter of practicality. We've done the best we can with the site. We've done everything staff has asked. And I think the staff reports I've seen don't oppose the 10-foot setback variance. And that's the only amendment we're asking to the agreement. Otherwise, the markers could go give Christie plans and put up a 40 or 50-foot building that looks somewhat like that hotel by Lyle, that when you're driving eastbound, looks like they fell in half with twice. So I think you're better off with a better-looking building, limiting it to two stories, a good use of the property.
Other questions of Mr. Kramer or staff? I have some. Thank you.
And I think the final point is the Planning Commission voted unanimously in favor of it, so you've got an advisory body, and we get no objectors at the hearing. All right, I'm sorry, there was one thing. I apologize. Debbie Perez.
So, Mr. Kramer, what's the size of this lot?
It's about 15,000 square feet, so a little over a quarter of an acre.
So to the concern that staging the construction equipment on there, and I know this is a bigger property, but many of the lots in the city are 12,000 square feet.
Actually, the residential ones are much smaller.
Okay.
But staging-wise, the markers have the property still with the daycare center behind it. They can stage there. And Mr. Rakos has the three vacant lots next to the daycare center that were the markers that he would love to use as well.
Okay. Then you mentioned that the city brought this upon itself years ago with the realignment of McHugh Road. Was that, and I don't remember, was that a forced settlement or was that a green settlement by markers in the city at the time?
Well, I think the city came to markers and said for the Menards development, they wanted to relocate it. I do not believe it was condemnation.
Okay. And did they bring this issue up at that time, do you know?
That they wanted to build a building?
Well, that this might be an issue with the setback?
No, because there is no front setback issues at all. They meet 34, they meet the McHugh Road, strictly the rear.
Okay, but you're not aware if they brought this issue up at the time?
No, I don't think they had a thought of building at the time.
Okay, and then to staff, again, what was the recommendation? It was 5-1?
Yes, it was 5-1.
Okay, and then you'll have to all forgive me. Out of the committee, EDC committee?
Well, the EDC committee asked us to do two things. They asked us not to do the fence, as I recall, and they asked us to contact Casey's. And your staff, thank you for their support. Both Jason and Christy did the same thing, not 20 times, I'm sure, but they made the attempt to get a hold of the corporate at Casey's. We couldn't raise an answer.
And again, forgive me, this is my being new. Out of EDC, is there a vote or is it just a recommendation or
no, just
discussion?
Just moving forward.
Okay. Okay. So really the only thing you're looking for is a side setback, that's what you're telling me?
That's it. 10-foot rear setback next to Casey's.
Okay.
And Casey's did not appear at the hearing or send in any kind of objection.
Okay. Any other questions? This requires what, a majority?
No,
I'm sorry, please.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
It's important to note that the comprehensive plan, this proposed use is not consistent with the comprehensive plan. The comprehensive plan sees this area along 34 is for commercial retail uses and not for office uses. So if this is approved, staff would then have to go back and amend the comprehensive plan to reflect this in all issues.
Should we change that first, or is it okay to vote on this?
It's fine to vote on it. We can, at the end of the year, we can make all of our amendments to our comprehensive plan to reflect what has happened in development throughout the year.
But the comprehensive plan you're saying shows retail on here or commercial?
Correct. It's a destination.
Would that not have higher traffic counts typically?
Precisely.
It would. And so
this is a less intense use as far as traffic goes?
Correct. It would be.
Okay, thank you. Any other items? Roll call, please.
Transier?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Nay.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Nay.
Chirulis?
Nay.
5-3, motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. I would accept a motion for PZC 2019-5 and EDC 2019-26 ordinance amending the Yorkville zoning ordinances by allowing short-term rentals in residential zoning districts.
So,
I don't have a motion yet. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, now we have a motion second. Please, staff. Thank you.
We were tasked with looking at advancing the zoning ordinance to address new types of land uses, and one of those newer types of land uses are short-term rentals, your Airbnb, VRBO. So we created some language to kind of regulate these land uses. We went to EDC and we got feedback that regulation was not warranted for this type of use because we only had one of these types of short-term rentals listed on these types of websites. So the recommendation was to allow them to be permitted in all of the residential land uses, so you have the E all the way through the R4 district. We took it to a public hearing, recommended unanimously, and the only change to our zoning ordinance would be to identify these uses as permitted land uses.
Questions? Comments? I have a couple, please. So, we're not going to be regulating these as far as charging fees. Was it the hotel tax?
Correct.
Okay. And if we pass this, and I understand the city or the state is looking at some different regulations potentially, but if we pass this in the future and we see there's issues, can we change regulations?
You can change it. You can begin to regulate it. You would have difficulty with anyone that's booked it. You know, ahead and improve the booking of it, so you'd want to give that credibility. Grandfather, that simple thing. Other than that, yes, sir, you may proceed to regulate at any time in the future.
Even the existing sites?
Even the existing sites along the ship.
And could we exempt them in the future if we chose to? Say they're grandfathered if we want to make regulations going forward?
That would be a bit difficult because on what basis would you exempt this house and not this house? What would be the rational basis? So that would be difficult.
Okay, thank you. No other questions? Oh, please.
Part of the logic behind making the decision not to regulate it was kind of, number one, we have enough government. Why jump ahead of something and kind of pre-regulate it? Two, the administrative costs to manage this would probably be more than the revenue that would come in. If there is a credible threat of somebody abusing however they're using their residence, that's something that we can kind of approach specifically as opposed to having a blanket ordinance that would then create another layer of bureaucracy that would cost money to administer but probably wouldn't pay for itself. So rather than having an unfunded mandate on ourselves, the idea was to identify it so that we know what they are, what classification they fall into, but then also allow the state to kind of levy that guidance that would then be, hey, free documentation that we can kind of adhere to our own kind of municipal rules. But I remember sitting in the meeting with Carlo, and he's like, how many do we have? And we all whipped out our phones and tried to find some. Only two or three of us could find a residence in Yorkville proper that was even available for an Airbnb. I think the most attractive one was a train car a few miles down the road. So we don't have any yet. And the ones that we do have, since they haven't brought up any red flags and Rich doesn't know about it, and we're not being told about people abusing these powers or these abilities, we thought it was a better idea to identify the use, put kind of like the definition in place, and then plan for something coming down the pike if it does indeed become something popular in the area. Then we can get out ahead of it since we've already done this legwork, you know, beforehand.
Excellent. Other comments, questions? Roll call, please.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Milshewski?
Aye.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Chirulis?
Aye.
Transier?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks so much. Next item. Item three. We have the PECC 2019-9 and PECC 2019-23 Downtown Form-Based Code and Streetscape Master Plan. First reading, items A and B. Is there a motion? We're not approving, it's just a reading?
We are...
First reading.
Correct, because it would be part of our code.
Sweet, so we're doing a reading. So we'll just turn this over to staff. Oh, consultant?
Correct. Doug Barr, Associates.
Thank you for coming.
Good evening.
Do you want to, do we like to have a step to the microphone?
Yeah, sure.
You're in the spotlight, Rich. Oh, thanks. I don't know why I'm on the agenda. With you, this is easy. I'm going to sleep out here.
Good evening. We're playing a video, so just think of the old black and white silent movie. So we'll just start with that. So this is a flyover of downtown New York, and you can see there's imagery, before and after imagery, and then we, fasten your seatbelt, move at that, coming through down Bridge Street, scanning over Van Ness. We're going to land here on Eperola in just a minute. Rollin and Van Emmons are from E Streets, and then commander of the downtown is kind of the third tier of street importance. But building heights, setbacks, and things like that are all regulated by the character of the street. And if you get down into the details, when you get to an intersection, the kind of higher, the street higher, the hierarchy governs four corners of that intersection, and you turn a corner and regulate the one level down. So that's, there's a lot of detail there. I believe the council has seen this, or hopefully they have, so I won't go into further detail unless there are questions on that.
Could you just pull a van of light and show the audience, please, real
quick? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. I see the show. I'm not into it. All the different streets. Do you not unlike the video, we just saw maybe like what that street would look like for it to be more fully developed.
Any council members have questions on that slide? We call it a slide. And you can always backtrack, but
yeah. And we've got the particularly for the form-based code, we've got every page up in a PDF, so if you want to ask a really detailed question, you can put that up.
And you did a nice public hearing on this too.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I actually came to it, it was nice.
Yeah, and so the master plan sets out a vision for the streets, which, as we all know, zoning doesn't govern streets. It's really public works and public investment. So, but the master plan, nonetheless, we hope will guide decisions made by council and the city and the improvement of the streets. When it comes to the private parcels, that's where the form-based code comes in. So the term form-based code is about 30 years old now. We trace back to the year 1980. And resort development in Seaside, Florida, was the first use of the form-based code in the United States. So that was 29 years ago. And that has, again, this emphasis on the creation of public spaces, typically simple things like streets, create a lot of character of a place. So a lot of times the regulations of buildings and conventional zoning didn't necessarily create a great street. Sometimes buildings forgot to put front doors on the front, forget to put windows on the front, they have a big setback in the parking lot in the front. All those things make a place less walkable, less special. So that's kind of what the big philosophy here is. And again, as I said, the hierarchy of streets is Ridge is our A Street, Hydraulic is our B Street, and then Avenue are kind of next tier down, and then the remaining of the streets of downtown. So we regulate by street, kind of the intensity and placement of buildings on the government street it sits on. And then we govern by building type, which is, I think, probably pretty much an innovation for anyone who's accustomed to conventional zoning. And what that means is any building you want to, I'll take you through a hypothetical. I have a piece of property that's here. I look up and see what street it's on. And then I look for that street to see what building types are permitted as a right. There's a whole list of many of those building types. So if I want to build that building, there are, I think, six. So they're downtown commercial, downtown living, they're cottage commercial, attached buildings, yard buildings, and I think maybe there's a spot. So they're essentially describing whether they're multi-story mixed use, mostly commercial or mostly residential, whether they're freestanding, but occupy a large portion of the site, or there are more housing types in the townhouse that have an attached shared wall or a standalone single family. So those are kind of the categories. So the sixth one is civic building, special building. So, but what's cool about it is that in a two-page spread, once you pick the building you want to build, all the regulations that pertain to that one building are on a two-page spread. So a lot of times the zoning code will say, well, your bulk requirements are in Chapter 2, and your height regulations are in Chapter 6, and parking is Chapter 9, and curb cuts is 7, and so you've got to jump around. We pull it all into a two-page spread. It's really meant to be user-friendly. It's meant to be also visual for those of us who aren't attorneys. You can't read that kind of legally stuff. The pictures actually are governed. They have authority to be the law, the instrument of the law. The diagram that you can read and with plain eyes and interpret how it applies is the regulated legal instrument. So that's the philosophy. And maybe I can just pause and see if there are questions. Is that enough detail or just so you can keep on?
Wait, yeah, make sure you show the audience again.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
I do have a question.
What do we do?
Has anyone talked property owners in the second ward about how they feel about this way. Because I live in the second ward, I've been to one meeting, and no one asked me what I thought.
Excuse me, just, actually, this is a presentation. Okay. If you want to have a public comment at the end of the meeting,
an opportunity. We have an opportunity for comments.
But I don't know that we'll do an exchange at that point. You can ask questions, and staff can get answers back to you.
Gotcha.
Thank you. Please.
So I can keep going. I have a 2-hour version.
Oh no, God no, no, no! You, not for me, you don't.
I'm good. I'll go all night. I just love this stuff. But what I would say is, if I had a kind of the things that I can say while I'm here, downtowns don't just happen. They happen because people manage them and invest in them. And so. A lot of times we work with our interested in private development and want to see investment, tax collections go up, the vitality of the downtown. And I'll just say the private sector responds a lot to the leadership of the public sector. So if you feel like you're getting applications for building permits and the quality's not good, in my experience, the town sets the culture of quality. So if you're doing excellent things and everything's beautiful and thoughtful, you have communicated the culture of your place and you get an expectation of excellence in design. So I think Christy's and Jason have first wave of implementation projects here, a couple of which come straight out of the streetscape master plan, including tactical art projects. So this is one of the lowest cost ways to add a lot of interest and vitality in downtown. So it's like a large scale chessboard, there's like a all these kind of sort of activities. So it's not something to just stand back and observe. It's something to go and play with, or bring the kids, have a picnic, play chess, whatever. So those are the kind of, some very current ideas from the sort of cutting edge of thinking in terms of how you get people excited about a place for low cost.
Excellent.
Yeah, so what we got? And so they're pretty well established form-based codes. The biggest one we worked on was the city of Chicago, which adopted a form-based code in its key streets in 2004, so that's 15 years old. That was governing 26 miles of commercially zoned streets in the city of Chicago. So there's only been one challenge to it, and all of them wanted to accept it to build a drive-through McDonald's, so remove the coverage, build the McDonald's, and then install the coverage, so no one else can do it. So,
let me ask, are there any questions from the alderman at all? Bill Schuske? Sorry.
It's really just a comment. I'm looking at
a
streetscape
master
plan. I'm just
going to
see some of these.
Do you have a page you're looking at? I'm sorry.
62.
62, thank you.
And you have a color coded for what the key is of, what's stadium and town hall. You actually have a piece of city property, which you have as part of the color coded.
So we have a misclassified?
Yes.
Okay.
It's quite a large piece. It's the piece where the Venom Activity Center is.
Yeah, the old bank.
We will catch that.
Yeah, we had spoke about the planning concern.
Go, please.
Maybe we had spoke about this in a couple of these active DC committee several months ago for that one. And that does follow through with all of the exhibits that were in the document. With that, there's a piece of park that's noted. We have one of the public pieces of property on the backside of the downtown core block. There are a few of those kind of things that were not picked up on.
I apologize.
I know we had that paper,
but they were mentioned the last time. I thought they would be
Mr. Funkhauser, are there others that you want to just make sure an email?
Yeah, those kind of things we can shoot emails off on. But when it comes to the actual streets, I don't know if anybody else has comments, but we can go through the streets if you want to count. I noticed a couple of these type of things that we're proposing street B. This is, we're going to go through street B.
What page are you on? In which book?
D, street D actually relates to pages, we're talking pages, this goes
31.
28, 29, 30.
Oh, are you planning, are you hoping to go through each street individually?
I'll bring up a couple comments. A
couple comments, please.
I'm not going to go through it detailed.
Okay.
Thank you. Street B, the plan that is on that one, there are for that is a long-term putting in the bioswale alongside with the curbless gravel strip. So if you go to page 37, actually that's a long-term gravel.
Oh, I did the point on that part.
Which is described in text in other places as well. But one of my concerns is, you know, as we've been going through redoing the streets in downtown core, we've been paving them to the extent of actually widening them a little bit, taking out the gravel curbs, and now we have a plan to come in with the downtown core and put in gravel strips along the edges. And I understand from the language, the intent is to define the edge. I'm not sure how public works feels, but I personally think that adding the gravel strip in perpetuity is more of a maintenance thing that we would have. I think gravel strips are more rural character as compared to downtown core. If we're going to do something, let's do a mountable roll curve kind of thing if we're going to do it. I don't think adding gravel back in is necessarily appropriate for our downtown. I don't recall many downtowns that have modernized that. I've seen that. But I do understand the intent is to define an edge. So I think that's something I would like to see from the plan so we can make it a little more clean edge. But with that, it's really.
Are you referring to page 36?
37 has the graphic. 38 has the gravel street apron. It is number 6 on top of the page. And then it's also illustrated on 39.
Okay. If I can comment, page 36, I'm sorry that I get some thoughts on there. The recommendation, you captured gravel apron, I agree, is not appropriate to them. If you look at figure 52 on page 36, where the stormwater facility is bounded by, like you said, defined. Mm-hmm. Defined is the right move. The rough gravel is a rural section, so that those entities
square. Yeah, so subsequently on page 37, 38, and 39, those all illustrate correct. I think if there's consensus, I would like to see that one, you know, modified to incorporate, whether it's a flat concrete barrier at the edge, something that sort that creates an edge.
Any objection? Go ahead, please.
Sure. So staff reviewed this with engineers, public works director, and there were comments about having a gravel edge, about the maintenance of it. The intent in this particular area is not part of the commercial core. Actually the residential portion of it, leading along to the visit to the Fox River. Staff felt that because of this area, the setback of the home and creating that kind of downtime, we got feedback from the public when we had the sessions, the working sessions, that the feel for the commercial core of the downtown was to have the curb and gutter, the more structure of the downtown areas. But the rural character, they wanted to in the residential portion, and that's also reflected in our neighborhood design that we wanted to keep that rural character. We're open to changing it, and that was the thought process behind having that type of rural character in the residential portion, kind of juxtaposition to the historic commercial building downtown.
And I appreciate that, I understand that, but I think as we're defining the downtown core, including residential, I think it's prudent to be thinking of long-term maintenance, snow plowing, how does that edge work over 10, 20 years in terms of gravel migrating as compared to having a concrete barrier. If we're talking about putting in bioswales at the edge of that, the gravel has potential to migrate into it because the material that's going to be within those bioswales is going to be in amended soil. We're going to have potential for that to move. I think it's better served in this area as we're planning to plan for having something more defined, something more rigid.
Other comments? No other comments?
About the gravel?
No, I just, in general. Here's where, I guess I'm going to interject here now. If you want to get into these, and I'm not criticizing the comments, I think there's some very valid points. I don't know that we want to sit here and go into the technical detail at this hearing here or reading. Again, help me here. What is it typically you do? We have another reading and another date?
We would pass it at the next regular meeting if it is in final form.
Okay, well, here's what I would suggest. And there's a lot here. Everyone take a look at it. Put together any questions you have. Email them to Bart. Bart will get those consolidated. He will shoot them out to everyone so everyone has a chance to look at those. And depending on how many there are, maybe we'll do it the next meeting. Maybe it'll be another meeting. But otherwise, we can go on and on. And I'm not criticizing the comments at all, but I think we can be on 10:30 because I could pick in part two.
In that case, I would like to see that, you know, if we're going to do it that way, then I'll come back for another discussion with all the comments.
I have no problem with it.
Because I think there could be some, you know, the lights across the streets. I mean, those are a big potential issue for, you know, possible. We want to get out of that roof here. So
here's a suggestion, and I like it more and more. Maybe the rest of you don't, so we'll hear. What if we get the comments? Send it back to committee. Let the committee discuss it with the comments.
I would suggest you can always send it back to the committee first.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Which committee is this? EDC?
EDC.
Okay. So get your comments to staff. You know, and you can always have them later. I'm not saying you can't. Shoot them an email if you can. If you call them, I don't care how you do it, but get your comments to staff, please. We'll send it back to EDC, and then EDC can regurgitate those and zip it back forward at some point. If it's next meeting, well, it'll be next meeting, month two, whatever it is. Okay? So, any discussion on the motion? All in favor, send it back to me. Signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Did you get that? All right. Sweet. I like that. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, just we could go on and on. And yeah. I think they're sick of me already. So.
Mayor, just want to share, I believe this is my last meeting I plan to attend. So, I'm available right now. If you have questions, you can answer less.
Oh, so you don't come back unless you don't come back at all?
I'm not going to be allowed for a certain amount of meetings. So, this is the last meeting that is available for staff. Definitely available. We have to
leave
all of the
documents. Duly noted. Thank you so much. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Okay, so where are we at? We are City Council Report. Oh, yeah. Admin. 2018-88 sale of 111 West Madison Street, Old Jail. I think this is just an update, correct?
Yeah, there's a brief memo in the packet. Both roads are still
questions on the Old Jail? Perfect. Okay, so next item, City Clerk's report. Do we have a report?
No report, Your Honor.
City Clerk, I like that. Can you give me any liaison reports, any of those tonight?
Just one update, sir.
Please.
Been working on the 2019 National Suicide Prevention and Action Month Proclamation Project. As of this morning, we are at 63 cities, 5 counties, and 20 different states. When I sat down at my desk, I got another email from the community of Western Springs. They will be community number 64. And I was informed by their clerk that their 23-year-old daughter completed suicide on January 30th of this year. Also, we've had another couple local suicides as of late. The conversation isn't getting any easier, but doing my best to continue to talk about it. I've been working with a group out of Chicago called Hope for the Day. Last month,
Ended up brewing a beer with Old Irving Brewing, which will be available on Thursday, called Hops of Hope, which might sound funny to you, but it's a double dry hopped New England IPA, 7.5% alcohol. It's delicious, but actually on the can is resource information. There's been a lot of discussion about, well, why are you putting conversations about suicide on a can of beer? Well, the founder of Hope for the Day, his uncle, basically drank himself to death. So maybe there's a chance that while you are open to, I know that after a couple cocktails myself, I'm open to talk about pretty much anything. So maybe that is an open door to continue the conversation with those of us who don't normally speak while sober. I've had a lot of conversations about whether that's ethical or not, and I can tell you there's nothing ethical about suffering the loss of one of your friends or family. So, that's this Thursday, Hops for Hope, or Hops of Hope. I'm kind of at a loss for words right now. Also, last month, at the end of April, I visited the city of Westmont, or village of Westmont, along with Hope for the Day, and a gentleman named Chris Vitek, his 23-year-old son, Jimmy, completed suicide in 2014. He had a presentation put together for the village, and the alderman who read the proclamation lost both his brother and his brother-in-law within 18 months of each other. These conversations suck. I intend, while I'm sitting in this seat, to continue talking about it. I don't know how much longer I can physically handle these stories. But I just want to kind of commend everyone here for allowing me to, you know, kind of work through this frustrating pain to continue talking about something that is important to me. So I just, number one, thank you for allowing me to continue. I know that my first phone call to you after you won was, hey, congratulations and all, but can I keep talking about suicide on behalf of the city of Yorkville?
Indeed it was.
Thank you, sir, for allowing me to continue this project. Former Mayor Galinsky was instrumental in allowing me to kind of work through this. I don't know where it's going, but now that I have, I'm getting more of an education on how I can communicate with communities. I'm learning that there is possibilities for cities like Yorkville, you know, 19,000, 20,000 people, to actually have a direct impact on people's lives by just saying it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to have a crappy day. It's okay to have a good day. I think we're all works in progress. I know I'm not the person I am today that I was, 2 weeks ago. Sorry for dropping the S-bomb. But I'm becoming more and more aware that we're not having this conversation in the office. We're not having this conversation in the gym. We're not having this conversation at the police station. We're having this conversation in the morgue. And it's killing me. So, talk about suicide. If you want to talk to me about suicide, my phone number is all over the frickin' internet. So have at it. I'm sick of suffering, and I'm sick of people not taking responsibility for the words that they use. So if we can focus on the words that we're using to talk about suicide and maybe change one or two words. Instead of using the word committed, we use the word completed. Instead of continuing to judge the people who completed suicide, you can't judge someone if you don't know their situation. So for everyone in here, I love you. Thank you for existing.
Thank you. Any other reports? Staff reports?
Just one item, Your Honor. Parks and Recreation Department is celebrating National Teacher Parents Day.
Oh,
so we're encouraging kids to take their parents over to the 16th playgrounds in the city. And that day is Sunday, May 19th. So we hope to see everybody out of the playground.
We won't be there, will we?
We will not be.
Yes. There are a lot of awesome parks, too. Tim, go ahead.
Yes, I have one other one that I just realized. Also, the Yorkville American Legion Annual Memorial Day service is Monday, May 27th. Before the next city council meeting, I just want to make sure we move by. It's an honor to those who made the ultimate sacrifice in this country. It's at 11:30 a.m. at Times Square.
Thank you very much. And please continue to remind me.
I will.
Thank you. Other staff reports? Additional business. We already did executive session. Citizen comments. Is there a motion to adjourn? Did I miss something?
No.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.